We're up to Pasuk Tet. We're up to the first chapter of Pasuk Tet of Kohelet. Ma shehayahu sheyigeh Uma shenaasah hu sheyaseh Ve'in kol chadash tachat hashamesh. What was is what will be. What was done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. A person is very often tempted to think that, that's the way it used to be. But today, you just get an iPhone, you have all those apps, come on. That's, it's a different world. Every generation has their thrill. And every generation has their reason to think that now it's different. That's the mistake the youth makes. They always think, yeah, but this time it's going to be different. Now it's going to be different. So Shlomo Melech says, no, this is the way it's always been. There's nothing new in this sense under the sun, meaning it's different variations of the same cycles.
Yesh davar shiyomar eizeh chadashu kevar haya lolamim asher haya milefaneinu. Shlomo HaMelech says,
there are things that a person says, hey, this is new. So you might think that if this is new, so then the tendencies of man and the tendencies of the world are different. And Shlomo HaMelech says, no. The world continues the way it's always been.
אין זיכרון לראשונים וגם לאחרונים שיהיו לא יהיה להם זיכרון אם שיהיו לאחרונה.
The only reason you think things have changed is because no one remembers history. Meaning in history there were constantly things that seemed new and they would bring you happiness. But you should know that that's the way of the world. And just like no one remembers what happened 200 years ago, most of history is forgotten. By the same token, you will also be forgotten. There'll be a little grave, a little tombstone. Here lies. Okay, big deal. So this idea that things are vain, that things are passing, that things are fleeting, well, guess what? Who do you know that lived 200 years ago? Give me the name of 10 people that lived 200 years ago. Who do you know? So you might say 10 famous people, not your grandparents, not their neighbors, no one in their community. So billions of people pass through this world and don't leave their mark. You can name the few people who have, but think of the billions of people that came and went, Ein zichron l'rishonim. No memory. Doesn't that make you sad? Isn't that depressing? I don't know. I read a line like that. I'm like, let me go to sleep. Okay? But why? Because Shlomo HaMelech is touching that nerve at the center of our being where we want to be infinite. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech began the book with. And if he's forcing us to face reality, to say, wait a second, I'm going to go. Okay, so I'm going to buy... What's your last name?
Friedman.
What? Friedman. I'm going to buy arielfriedman.com. And I'm going to pay $50,000 to own it for another 5,000 years. Okay, I don't know if the ICANN registration is going to be around in 5,000 years. But whatever, I want to be infinite. So I'm going to own arielfriedman.com. And all my descendants will be able to have an email at arielfriedman.com. Well, you know what? They're going to say, who was that Ariel Friedman? So I'll write a biography and I'll put pictures up there and I'll have a Facebook page and everything. But they're never going to look at it because who's going to care, right? And if they look at it, it'll mean nothing to them. There'll be no difference between talking about Ariel Friedman or a million other people. Ein zichron l'rishonim. Nothing's really left of billions and billions of people who went through this world, the earlier generations. And guess what that tells us? So the latter generations, the ones that come after them won't remember them either. So you're a fleeting speck in the world. Look at the sun shining through the window.
Look at all that dust flying by. No one notices it. No one cares. It doesn't have a name. Isn't special in the world. That's you. No, it isn't. So something deep inside us is yelling, no, I'm not. I'm not a speck of dust. There's more to my life than that fleeting dust flying by the window. And Shlomo HaMelech is going to answer us how you become something different. But he's saying the way to become something is not the way people think. It's not by owning the Jaguar, the stretch limousine, the fancy mansion, building the tower that has your name on it. That's not how to get there. And he's saying, proof of it is, who do you know? Who was the Baron? You don't even know. You don't even know that Pataki in Poland meant the wealthy man of the town. You don't even know the term. I mean, if you're going to see Mr. Pataki from 300 years ago, what do you care? So he was the Baron of his estate, and now he's rotting somewhere out in Poland if there's anything left of him. Who cares? Even if you got the information. Ah, but there is a Graf Pataki who we know about. Why do we know about him? Because he did something different than pursue the mundane world. And because of him, we actually know what the word Pataki in Polish meant. Otherwise, what do we know in Polish? Yeah. Yes, Ariel.
Ari.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And I just want to say that when you said that this concept can make people depressing, I find it more empowering because it will be motivational in order to strive to be one of those people whose legacy is remembered for something positive, not just having your name, soandso.com or whatever, but actually for having made a revolutionary difference in humanity and the world.
Okay, so we're going to get there.
I'll finish it. I agree with you, but I like it too, but it can be depressing, no question. If you look at it a certain way, it definitely can.
How old are you, Ari? How old are you?
21.
Okay.
Why?
Because when I was your age, I had that hope too. No. Rabbi Akiva started at 40. So, I'm ahead of him, right? I'm not yet 40. And I started. So I have no excuses. Right? But fine. I'm not coming to take the air out of your balloon. I'm not going to take the wind out of your sails. I think that good. You have to take that approach, and we'll get there. But I'm not sure that that's where Shlomo HaMelech is taking us. Meaning, I think you're misunderstanding me because you're understanding me from your perspective. Let's hear King Solomon out because he has a lot more to say.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily have to be like, okay, I'll be like a person. I think a person could be content by being remembered, by being part of a revolution. Not even necessarily if his name is always remembered. But for example, fighters from the Lefty. Not every single one of them is remembered except for in the Lefty Museum. But either way, the Lefty will always be remembered for having liberated Israel.
I am purposely not answering you because I think we have to work with Koheles, to work with the directions of thought till we reach the bottom line. And that's why if Koheles could take us on this journey of this doesn't work and that doesn't work and that doesn't work, then I could also take us on that journey. I'm just going with him. So I don't think my job is to answer you. At the end of the book, I'm happy to come back to this discussion. But just bear in mind, at this stage, what was suggested is that if a person does things of meaning, then they can have a legacy that will continue because they did something of meaning. And I think that Shlomo HaMelech's conclusion has a nuance of a difference, but that difference makes all the difference. So let's wait and hear him. I the first time we had this class, I was very careful not to give the bottom line. I think that would ruin his bottom line. You wouldn't get it. You have to build towards it. That's what he's doing. He's saying, okay, this doesn't work. And in a second, he'll give us another example of what doesn't work. And we have to work our way around until we finally hit what does work.
So what did he just say doesn't work?
He said, if you're going to try through physical means, through things that are within the physical material world, you will never attain something that is infinite. You will never attain a sense of complacency isn't the right word, a sense of wholeness. Maybe. I think he means more a sense of accomplishment, meaning you won't have a feeling of purpose, of long-term purpose and accomplishment through attempts to achieve things in the material, physical world. Those were the two ideas we've seen so far. Anyone else? Okay. Right, so he wrote it. This is a work that he wrote, correct. That's the simple answer. It deserves a longer answer on a different occasion, because you'll notice that the book began with the word divrei. So that needs analysis. Meaning the simple understanding, which we will go with for this time that we're learning it, is that he wrote this whole work in one shot, more or less, to be learned as one ongoing thought. And I don't think we will ever, in this context of Machon Meir, I don't think we'll ever get to explore a different understanding in it. But as you grow in your learning, you'll have to revisit it. And I'll just give you a direction of thought. If the words of Kohelet were all leading the way we're learning them, as I have this angle, that angle, okay, not this, not that, not the other one, okay, this is it, that's it. So then how does the Talmud derive things from the ideas that he nixes? Meaning you will find, as you study Medrash and Talmud, that the Talmud has no issue taking concepts from verses that it seems he negates. And if our understanding is complete, then there's no room for that. He negated that. You can't derive anything from that. He just told you, don't go that route. And that's why I'm saying our understanding is the one we will be working with for the understanding of the work. But as you grow in your learning, you have to revisit the work and see a deeper understanding. But for now, we're going to have to work with that, because this is our first, you know, this is our first time learning through Kohelet, so we have to work with that.
Is he saying, though, just taking on a little bit what you're saying, he's saying that these things don't work as an end in itself. The Talmud probably would disagree with that, right?
Mine?
I mean, just I don't know it enough, but just it's a,
I can't go there.
In other words, having a good physical meal on Shabbos, certainly
fine,
it's not a problem. But if you're living only for the physical meal on Shabbat, and that's your whole Shabbat, that's a problem.
Fine. I can't answer you accurately, because let's leave it. Okay. Let's leave it as something that when you learn, you'll come back to it. Back to Kohelet, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ani Kohelet hayiti melech al Yisrael b'Yerushalayim. I, Kohelet, I used to be king over Israel in Jerusalem. What did he say? I used to be king over Israel in Jerusalem. And from here our sages derive that he wrote the book when he was no longer king over Israel in Jerusalem. V'natati et libihi לדרוש ולטור בחוכמה על כל אשר נעשה תחת השמיים. And I focused and I analyzed and I searched to find, to discern throughout the wisdom and throughout different people's philosophies in life who... So I'm looking through the different ways people have adopted the different attitudes and philosophies, and I've come to certain conclusions. Hu inyan ra natan Elohim livnei ha'adam la'anot bo. And I've seen that there are bad attitudes, there are bad options in the world, that Hashem gave people the capacity to follow, which will ultimately be self-destructive to them. So Hashem gave us, I discovered, there's plenty of evil errors that Hashem made readily available for people to pursue, errors that are ultimately self-destructing. And if you want a simple example of that, just think AIDS, hepatitis, think of all the STDs. Hashem gave us so many, you know, there's the great desire, and then there's the great payment. I saw someone with a t-shirt that said, drink coffee, what do you need that liver for anyways? Okay.
Could be beer,
right? So I see that Hashem gave us this free will, and Hashem allowed us to do whatever we want. But at the end of the day, you know what? There's payback. So I understood that this is a bad idea, giving us this free will. This is really a harmful thing. It's harmful to your health, the fact that you have this capacity to do whatever you want. Natan Elokim, Hashem gave man, livnei ha'adam lanot bo, He gave man the capacity to be self-destructive. So Shlomo HaMelech holds no prisoners. He's willing to say, I don't like the way God created the world. I have issues with the way God created the world. And if we would interpret it in a more traditional way, then we would say Shlomo HaMelech is saying, God created the world in a way that I really have a hard time with. I really see the difficulties in it. The simple reading, though, of the words are, Hu inyan ra. Shlomo HaMelech says, what a bad idea that Hashem allowed man to be so self-destructive. And if that sounds far out to you, so Chazal say that Shlomo HaMelech really went all out against creation. And you don't have to reach the end of the first chapter to realize this. Chazal tell us that if you read the second verse of Koheles, what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Havel Havalim. Vain. It's doubly vain. Havel havalim. Vain. It's doubly vain. Hakol havel. Everything's vain. 7 times vain. He uses the term vanity 7 times in the second verse. Tell us, our sages, what was Shlomo HaMelech saying? He was looking at all of creation, 7 days of creation, and says, everything's pointless, God. This whole world, everything you spend 7 days creating, come on, what's the point? So, Chazal gave us that interpretation, that Shlomo HaMelech was purposely beginning the book using 7 terms of pointlessness, of finite thing, indicating that things are not the way he would have liked to encompass all of creation. So again, he's taking us somewhere, and he's coming and saying, at first glance, and misusing your strengths, misapplying your thoughts, using incorrect philosophies, boy, you can really mess up in this world. But the way he's presenting it is with this philosophical approach of, gee, look at what's out there. Most of humanity is wasting their time. What a terrible thing. Look at the world. Billions of people, generation after generation, are leading lives that are worthless, that are meritless, that have no memory, that just pass from the world. Here they are toiling, working. They work really hard. And what do they have to show for it? So you have a world, billions of people, born and dying, suffering and contending with life, and then it's over and they rot. And what's the difference between them and an animal? As Shlomo HaMelech himself is going to say later on in the book. What's the difference? How many dogs have died since the world's being created? How many people have died? Is there a difference? So there is. But he hasn't yet answered what is that difference. He's saying when you stop it, you start, you look at the world and you say, wait a second, what's the point of all this? And how do you break out of that cycle? That's the point he's coming from. If we're all going to die, and the world will just keep turning, and the sun will keep rising and keep setting. So then how do you break out of that and do something worthwhile in life? Ari said, how do you leave a legacy? And I say, I'm not sure that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. He's saying, it's not pursuing the material ends, and he's not yet saying what it is. He's saying, I'm going to look, I'm going to search. Yes, Suri.
I also wanted to remark on how ironic it is that people emphasize knowledge, at all costs, and then King Solomon, why is King Solomon, seems to be more of a curse, because he spent time thinking about this. I mean, I've heard some historians too saying, worms is where we're going, and it's pretty depressing to have a lot of knowledge. Actually, have such a huge amount of knowledge. So, where is that balance between knowledge and wisdom, and how far to go?
Let's wait. He will tell us. But he's first telling us the frustrations, and he's first coming to rule out certain approaches. If you think the approach is let me amass wealth, well, then what's going to be different from you and the cockroach who amassed a lot of crumbs in his nest? He's dead. We die. No one remembers Mr. Cockroach. Who's going to remember us? What's the difference? The world keeps turning. You want there to be a difference? Then we're still going to talk about how you do that. It'll take us a few weeks, but we'll get there. His point is not to depress us. His point is to walk with us through the standard. This is already my interpretation, and that goes into the order of the book. I think what he's doing is really taking us in the order of thought that the average person works. Meaning, he asked the average kid, a person starts off life thinking he'll be very successful in the material world. He starts off life looking at who are the great successes around him, and then that's where he aspires to. And then he starts thinking, and we'll see where he gets to. I think the order of the book is very much the order of the average person's thoughts. And so he begins with the most simple point, which is a person thinks that success is in what the world deems success, material success. But that's already my interpretation as far as the order of the book. That's what makes sense to me, but I don't know of any of the commentaries that actually say that point.
Question.
Yes.
So is this why Shlomo HaMelech says we could learn a lot from ants? Because we see they're just running around, gathering, building their things, and just ants.
No. What Shlomo HaMelech is saying over there, which happens to be a verse in Mishlei, not in Koheles,
right.
Shlomo HaMelech is saying that when it comes to diligence and to doing things responsibly, you could learn that from the ants. He's not talking about what you'll do. He's saying, in general, if you want to learn about diligence,
the way they do.
They're not lazy. You could learn from them how you shouldn't be lazy. That's it. That's his point there. And you see it from the beginning of the book. What is the beginning of that discussion? What does he begin? He says, Lech el nemala atzel, lazy one. Go see the ant. Re'ei derachea v'chacham. Look at her way in life and become enlightened. Asher en la katzin shoter u'moshel. She doesn't have a general, a policeman, or a ruler. Agera v'katzir ma'achala, and yet she goes and gathers in the spring and she prepares her food, and look at how diligent and how careful she is in planning out life. It's a different message. He's saying there's a certain concept you could learn from the ant. You could learn how to prepare, you could learn how to be diligent, you could learn how to deal with life. The lazy person deals with the now, and the ant teaches us to look to the future and do it with diligence. Laziness isn't about making it easier, it's about making it easier now. I don't want to get up, but I want to close that window. So what do? I do this, I do that, I lift my foot, I find a million different ways. I'm just giving an example of laziness. Ariel, it might be much harder for me to shift that if I want to shift the plug to start doing this.
But it's short-term easier. I don't want to do that tedious task of getting off the chair. So on the short term, it's like I'm going to try. And you work much harder long term. So that's the idea of laziness. The guy says, I don't want to study for the test. I don't want to go for a BA, an MA, a doctor. Wait, come on, that's a lot of work. No, it isn't. It's short term, meaning in the here and now, it's harder. In the long term, it's easier. In the long term, he might end up working for 20 shekel an hour, working so many more hours, doing much harder labor. Whereas if he'd have invested the time when he could have and the strength, in the long term, it would have been easier. So that's the idea of laziness. That's what he's saying. Go learn from the end. But that has nothing to do with us here. That's when we learn Mishlei. We'll get there. Yeah. Yes.
So how about seems to be telling someone that wants to be remembered that you're not going to be remembered?
I think that's just a way of expressing what's the point.
Okay.
How are you any different than the cockroach in the wall that you never met, no one ever met, no one cares about?
Is he trying to secure someone
that doesn't really care about the future, that you should care about the future? Because he's trying to say, even with the present state, I think he's looking for purpose. He's looking for purpose, and he's looking for the correct philosophy in life.
But is he trying to inspire someone to care, someone that doesn't really care about, being remembered? And
I don't have a source for an answer to that question, so I'd rather say I don't know. Now, if you're curious to hear what I think, I'm willing to tell you. But it's not based on any sources on Koheles. If we look at the introduction to many works on philosophy, Rav Sadia Gaon and others, Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Rambam, they generally write that to the layman who is not interested in philosophy, there's nothing you can say. He's not interested. And so my assumption would be that Shlomo HaMelech is not coming to get him interested. Because that might be part of what he's trying to do in Mishlei. And in Mishlei he really says, this book is meant for everyone. Doesn't matter how smart or dumb a person is. But in Koheles, I have a hard time imagining that that's what he means to say. I don't think so. But that's me. That's just working off of Rav Sadia Gaon, Rambam, Rabbeinu Bechaye, how they describe that, there are a lot of people who aren't bothered by the questions and you're just not going to get them interested. They're like, let me make ends meet and move forward in life. And maybe we'll end with a joke. There was once businessman who had a thriving business, but he wasn't educated. He didn't know how to do the most basic math. So his son went to college, got a highfalutin degree, took over the business with all his charts and analysis and cash flow. And in short, he took a thriving business and drove it to the ground in 3 years. So when everything's bankrupt, he comes with his Harvard degree to his father and he says, Dad, I don't get it. Where did I go wrong? So his father says, Son, I don't know if things are... I didn't know all these complicated things you did. I just kept my business really simple. I bought things for $1, sold them for $5. I was very modest. I took my $1 profit and I went home. So, sometimes a person, go talk to him about $1, $5, $1 profit. He doesn't know. He doesn't care to know. Like he tells his son, I made my honest buck and I go home. He doesn't care to understand that 5 minus 1 is 4. That doesn't bother him. I made my honest buck. Leave me alone, And there are people like that in the world, and I'm not sure anything Koheles is going to say is going to change that by them. So that's why I think that... I would think that he's voicing his book to those that are at least fit to be reading it, interested in hearing it.
Yeah, I,